And now, Talk Radio 760 KFME presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with your hosts Richard Musio and Joe Vecchio. Now, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening and welcome to It's Your Money, Not Theirs, our Super Bowl edition tonight. We've got a very interesting show. I'm Joe Vecchio, your host, your co-host, announcer, and producer. And we are being heard tonight in not only in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, all the way up, sometimes as far north as Seattle, I'm told, out to the east to Riverside County and to the desert. And now I would like to introduce the main man of the hour, CPA and family guy extraordinaire, Richard Musio. Richard, good evening.
Hi, Joe. Eli Manning did it again.
By about the same score. We're trying to find that out, and I guess we will get the from the Super Bowl 42. But
yeah, because they scored on the last drive in Super Bowl 42 as well. Remember, Rodney Harrison whiffed on knocking that ball out of David Tynes' hands.
Right.
And then they
took
it
was
the
that miracle catch with the ball sticking
right
on the guy.
Yeah.
I forget if that's Plaxico. But
no, that was David Tynes for the New York Giants. He's no longer with them.
Gotcha.
Rodney Harrison, though, is the guy who, he should have defended that pass, but he didn't.
Well, it's all history now, and two Super Bowl rings for Eli Manning and the New York Giants. So congratulations to them, who had a 7-7 team at one point, right? I mean, that should inspire our Chargers.
They had to win their last game of the regular season against Dallas just to make the playoffs.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Just amazing. But you've had a pretty long day today. Now, what time did you get up? And I understand
I ran the Surf City Half Marathon, although I was up early because I volunteered at the start line for the marathon from 5:30 to 6:30. That would be this morning, not this evening. So I was out there for an hour from 5:30 to 6:30 volunteering at the marathon.
But you live in Del Mar, so that's a little bit of a schlep. So how long
I spent the night there last night.
Oh, okay.
Because I volunteered at the expo yesterday. And then I went out and raced the half marathon. Man, was it hot. The thing didn't start till 8 o'clock.
Hmm.
I wish it would have started at 7 a.m. because it was late. It was high 60s by the time we finished.
And the paramedics were in tow, correct?
Yeah, I ran pretty well. I came in 1,540th out of 14,000, top 11%. I was shooting for the top 10%, but at about mile 9, chugging up a hill into the blinding sun, I even had my baseball eye black on because the sun was so horrific.
So
I thought, should I push it right here for the last 4 miles and see what happens, or should I just cruise in? And right at that time, three straight ambulances picking people up off the course behind me. I said, no, discretion's the better part of valor.
Wow. So 1,540 out of how many total?
14,000.
Oh, Jesus.
So I was top 11%. I was trying to come in the top 10%, but I just couldn't quite do
it. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy here just took up running only a few... He's in
6 years ago.
6 years ago. I mean, it's pretty miraculous.
Yeah, I'm doing Boston Marathon on it, April 16th.
Wow. Now, what you just found out about that recently, right?
A week ago.
How many runners are going to be in that thing?
40,000.
There's like a city. A city picking up and running for 21 miles or
26.2,
whatever.
26.2, Joe. Yeah. Don't shortchange the marathon.
Well,
okay?
If I do it, I'm going to do it 21.
It's the point two that gets you. People go, that's 26 miles. I go, no, it's 26.2.
Oh, my God. And then you finish this race, you get in your car, you come back here, and what else? How was your Super Bowl Sunday?
My daughter had to go to the office supply store to buy Microsoft Word for one of her high school classes, so we went shopping at 4 o'clock. I got home in time to watch Madonna at halftime, and then I took my youngest daughter, who's still living at home, she's a high school sophomore, out shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever want to go shopping with no people, it during the Super Bowl.
One year, I had on Super Bowl Sunday, I had to drive up to L.A. For an event the next day, and I went during the Super Bowl, and I'm telling you, I flew up there. You know, it was amazing. It must have been how LA was, 50 years ago or something. But you're right. If you want to get somewhere quickly, go on Super Bowl Sunday if you're driving.
Yeah. So I got in here to watch the end of the game, and got it. I walked into the big screen room and saw Wes Welker drop that pass with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah. Well, that's what at least it was a close compete. It was anybody's ball game, and that's the kind of Super Bowl you want. Unfortunately, it looks like I said I think Eli has Brady's number, and I guess I was right.
I guess.
But tonight we've got a wonderful, interesting show, and why don't you introduce our terrific guest?
We're going to dissect Mitt Romney's income tax return.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting, income tax
return.
How
many pages is that?
203. And we have with us to help me dissect Mitt Romney's income tax, Jonathan Allen, who is both an attorney and a CPA in Escondido, and her specialty of her practice, although they do a lot of things, but her particular specialty is international tax, which is somewhat appropriate for Mitt Romney's income tax return because he's got so many pages disclosing foreign accounts. So, Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you very much. So great game, yeah?
Yeah, it was a good game. Tell us about yourself. What do you do? Where'd you come from? Why do you do what you do? Well, what do you like about it?
Let's start at the beginning. Where were you born and raised and went and schooled and et cetera? People like to know these
things. Come from the wild, big sky state of Montana. And stayed in Montana and was educated there. I got my degree in accounting from the University of Montana and decided that I would come down to San Diego to seek fame and fortune about 1985. And went to work for a couple of CPA firms down here and wanted to go into consulting, actually with a big four firm. And they patted me on the head and said, it's great that you've passed the CPA exam. And if you want to go into consulting, you need three more degrees. You need an MBA, a law degree, and a master's in law and tax. I said, okay, I'll see you when I get back. So I went back and put that together and came out and opened my firm. I actually have two firms. There's one called Allen Barron, Inc., and that's our consulting and tax compliance firm, and Jonathan L. Allen APC, which is a traditional law firm. We handle a lot of international tax transactions, contracts, things of that nature, and trusts and estates as well.
So you took the, you went to law school in California, got all those degrees here? Or?
Yeah, California really educated me.
Wow. So you got the law, the MBA where?
The MBA at the University of San Diego.
Go Toreros. Yes, we beat Santa Clara. Beat Santa Clara Saturday night.
You're with a fellow alumnus, and you're an alumna. Let's get these Latin words correct. And then you got the business degree first or the law degree first?
No, I got the MBA first. Went to law school at Southwestern University School of Law up in Los Angeles.
Okay.
In the SCALE program, which is a really unique law program for those that are interested in going and getting through law school in about 2 years. And finished with the LLM in tax at the University of San Diego Law School.
Wow.
It's all right. You've really supported my alma mater. You got two degrees from there.
Well, let's give them another plug, because Richard and I happened to be over last week, and we heard
Robert Kuzami, who is head of enforcement for the SEC, was there about a week and a half ago, very interesting presentation, because his main point was that they don't have a ton of resources to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I wonder why. I wonder how and why, but they've got about 1,300 in the enforcement division to keep track of 35,000, registered companies who are issuing securities, but we'll leave that for another show. But USD hosts a lot of interesting things. They also had Mike Mayo there recently, who's a bank analyst. So we can talk about that later as well. But keep
great
your
school.
Eye on
it.
Yes.
It's a great school. So, Jonathan, you specialize in international tax, though, right?
Yes, we do.
Can you tell our listeners what international taxation means or what you do?
Well, the international tax piece really came because when I was doing the MBA program, that was about the time NAFTA had become fairly important in terms of trade between U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And as you get into it, when I was studying, I did a lot of international courses. And, of course, when I started the firm AB Inc. with my partner Richard Barron, he was a CEO, and he had run companies internationally in the high-tech arena, and he had done a lot of work overseas. So that was really the marriage between the experience that he had and my educational experience, and that was the genesis of the firm AB Inc., or Allen Barron Inc., but I call it AB Inc.
And are you seeing more foreign investment here in the U.S., more deals happening with money that's coming from overseas or less? Is that speeding up or slowing down?
I think it's absolutely speeding up.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing. I know the San Diego real estate market would be, well, it's somewhat depressed, but if it wasn't for foreign investment, particularly in higher purchase price areas like Rancho Santa Fe and La Jolla and Del Mar, we would be in the tank, trust me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would agree with that. We see a lot of people that are coming across, people that have parents in foreign countries that want to go back and invest in real estate and are looking to set up, for example, LLCs to go back and do those investments with.
Especially if the currency, if the foreign currency becomes more valuable to them, it makes great sense for them to invest here, right?
I think there's two reasons. There's currency issues, and then particularly south of the border, there are security issues down in Mexico. So we're seeing more action, I think, coming from south of the border just because a lot of wealthy Mexicans don't feel that it's necessarily a safe country at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, there's some issues in South America as well where they're looking for stability within currencies.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, it's some hyperinflation economies. Interesting stuff. And, of course, this is an appropriate topic because I think about half of Mitt Romney's 2010 tax returns is the foreign investment disclosure pages, which we'll get into at some point during the show. Mm-hmm. I hurt my right arm carrying this thing in. It's 203 pages. Do we get workers' comp here, Jeff?
I don't know. Well, have you checked out any prior presidential candidates' returns, or is this the first time we've had a chance?
No, I have. I have.
Are they typically
I've seen three or four in my lifetime.
Are they typically this thick?
No. I suspect, going from memory, I've never seen more income on a presidential candidate or president's tax return than this one. I mean, most of the presidents, they'll typically have at least seven figures, $1 million of income. Mm-hmm. In many cases, they get a lot of speaker's fees and honoraria. Mm-hmm. But Mitt Romney's...
He's in a class of his own. Huh?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised at the lack of honoraria as well.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we have to take a short break here, but we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
The leaders in talk radio. Mike Slater.
I have a feeling that you're a Slater crusader.
Glenn Beck.
A leader will remind people who they are.
Sean Hannity.
Conservatism is literally our path to prosperity and success.
Roger Hedgecock.
There's now two classes of people in this state. One class has to obey the law, and the second class doesn't have to obey any of the laws.
Mark Levin.
I don't care if you've been listening to talk radio since 5 this morning. Stick with me.
Follow them here. San Diego's talk radio leader. 760 KFMB.
Hey guys, so we all think that buying gifts for women isn't easy, but it kind of is. Now, the one occasion you really don't want to mess up on is Valentine's Day. So go to Unicorn Jewelry, because that's the one gift that's guaranteed to make her happy. Now, for me, and maybe you as well, buying jewelry can be intimidating, but I'm going to make you a hero. Go to Unicorn Jewelry and Watch Boutique in Rancho Bernardo and ask for Fred. Okay, trust me, you're going to love Fred. He's the owner. And not only will he personally help you find the perfect Valentine's Day gift, he's going to explain it in simple guy terms. Whatever you want to know about jewelry, he's going to help you out. And since Unicorn is San Diego's largest independent jewelry store, you're sure to find something she'll love that no one else has, and something that fits your budget too. Now, if you're thinking of popping the question, Unicorn Jewelry is the engagement ring headquarters, featuring a huge selection of brands like Tacori, Verragio, Scott K, and more. So this Valentine's Day, don't be intimidated, be informed, and give her the gift that she will love. Go to Unicorn Jewelry and Fred will take care of the rest.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language? With no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills. You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know. That this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free demo and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-900-0507 and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone demo today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills, and the Rosetta Stone program offers as many as 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-900-0507. That's 1-800-900-0507. 1-800-900-0507.
Have you ever wanted to go solar but felt the initial investment was too high and the payback too long? Solar Alliance of America has developed the number one rated solar energy program in the country. Imagine owning your own solar electric system and having the state and federal government and your utility savings pay for 100% of your system. Tune in every Saturday at 4 p.m. to listen to Artie Rose from Solar Alliance of America explain how it all works, or call 855-SOLAR. That's 855-SOLAR. Find out the facts. 855-SOLAR. Or go to solaralllianceofamerica.com.
Carbon monoxide is very serious and can happen to anyone at any time, and I've learned that the very, very hard way.
One winter's night, Cheryl Burt lost two sons to a silent killer. Help protect your family. Install a carbon monoxide alarm in your home. It's quick and simple and could save a life.
Don't make that mistake. Don't take your life for granted. Don't take your children's life for granted. It changes your life forever.
For more safety tips, visit casafehomes.org.
Follow Mark Levin.
Tomorrow night, 6 to 9.
Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Oh, we are back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. And that's that great Bob Newhart music, I believe. But we're back with Richard and Jan to discuss Mitt Romney's tax returns.
All right, so 203 pages. 2010 tax return.
Yeah, burned my printer.
Here's a story. So Jonathan says, okay, I'll be on the show. Can you send me over a copy of his tax return? Well, I was working from a Snap scanner. So, you know, with a Snap scanner, you can't really put in more than about 60 or 70 pages. So I had to send it over in three shifts.
And then I burned my printer out trying to print it all.
But, I killed a couple of trees with this one. So Mitt Romney's tax return. It's a really interesting piece of work because if you look at his 2010 tax return, he has adjusted gross income of, 21,646,507. That's 21,646,507. That's two commas, people, and two digits there on the left. So I haven't seen in my career too many tax returns that have more income than this, although I've seen some that have nine figures of income. But for presidential candidates or governmental office candidates, he's got one of the best I've ever seen. So I think the big criticism in the press has been, from a moral perspective, the criticism has been, this is somebody with over $20 million of income, but he only pays about $3 million of income tax every year. It's even less than a 15%. I think it came out to 13.9% of his adjusted gross income was the amount of income tax he paid. And of course, if you saw President Obama's State of the Union address, he had Warren Buffett's secretary or personal assistant there to make the point that she pays more income tax on her income than Warren Buffett pays on his income, which I didn't see either one of those tax returns because those weren't made public. But the point here is that $3 million of tax on $21 million of income. Jonathan, is that fair? Is that reasonable?
Well, I think it comes down to the perception of what type of income is actually being taxed. And in terms of this particular return, when you go back and you take a look at the fact that most of the income is coming either from taxable interest or dividends, then essentially that's income that's been taxed twice. It's taxed once at the corporate level if it's dividends, and then it's dividended out to the shareholders who then again pay tax on it. And the interest, of course, is interest that's earned on whatever particular investments that he has. So is it right? Is it wrong? I'm not certain that I can make that judgment, but the fact is that's what our code goes back and says, that the rates for this type of income is going to be taxed at.
Yeah, it's consistent with the income tax code. For example, he had interest income of $3,295,727, dividends $4,923,348. Of more interest on the dividends, about 70% of that, around $3.4 million, was what we call qualified dividends, which are taxed at only a 15% rate. And then the biggest income element on there was $12,573,000 and change, which was primarily long-term capital gain. So of his $21,600,000 of income, if you add up the qualified dividends and the capital gain, it was just under $16 million, or about 75% of his income is subject only to a 15% tax rate per the Internal Revenue Code. Again, that's on the qualified dividends and the long-term capital gain. So you would expect on a return like this to see that his income tax would only be around 15% or slightly less than his adjusted gross income, because that 15% is the ceiling amount, the maximum amount that one would pay on those kinds of income under the Internal Revenue Code.
May I pose a question? What do you think his tax would have been in 1955?
It would have been a lot higher on this amount of income just because we had a marginal rate that was much higher. Right now, our highest marginal rate is 35%. That may become 39.6 at the end of 2012, depending on who gets elected. Re-elected.
But wasn't the highest bracket then like 70% or something?
At one point, it was 95%. I forget what year. Yeah. And even up until the early 80s, we were at a 15% margin, a 50% marginal rate. But we also have only had this beneficial tax rate on ordinary dividends for about the last 14 or 15 years. I lose track of time. Dividends used to be taxed at regular ordinary rates.
Oh, you mean capital? There were no capital gains at that time?
Dividends used to just be taxed like any other income, not with a 15% ceiling. And then the long-term capital gain rate of 15% is the lowest it's been in quite some time as well, because when I came into the business, it was, I think, at 20%, and it was at 20% for many, many years for long-term capital gains.
So dividends became capital gains at what?
Dividends aren't capital gains, though. They just happen to be taxed at the same, qualified dividends are taxed at the same rate as long-term capital gains, 15%. And most of that came out of what was called Reaganomics around 1980, was that 84?
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to stimulate the economy by reducing tax rates, and it actually worked back in the 80s.
So the capital gains tax was how high, or when did that come into being? And
the 15% has been with us since 1989.
Okay.
I lose track of time.
I was under the
It was part of the phase-in of the 86
Tax Act, right. So it phased in the late 80s.
Okay.
So it's been with us a long time. But here's the thing. It's set to expire December 31, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And if President Obama gets reelected, he holds a very heavy hammer with regards to any negotiations with the Republicans on what the tax code should look like, because he can simply refuse to sign any extensions of what we call the sunsetting tax provisions and benefits.
Well, someone's got to address that $5 trillion in debt that showed up from 2001 to 2008 at some point, right?
They do, but let me tell you, let's get back to the moral issue of whether $3 million of tax on $20 million of income is fair. I actually read the entire 203 pages of this thing, and I think Mitt Romney's tax return is probably one of the most moral tax returns I've ever seen, because if you look at his Schedule C, he had a Schedule C, which is income from a trade or business, where he had about $600,000 of net income. And that's from his speaking fees and his honoraria for speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And on that Schedule C, he took almost no deductions. He just took basically agents' commissions and so on, I guess paying somebody who arranges his presentations.
Mm-hmm.
He took no deductions for travel or meals or entertainment or auto expenses for an office and a home.
Yeah, but those could have been paid for, yeah.
Well, I suspect his travel was, and people say that politicians never pick up the tab at a meal.
Ever.
So that may be the case there. But I'm sure he had some expenses. Like it paid for a piece of paper or two to put some notes down or what have you. But he didn't take any deductions on there at all, except what he paid his agents.
Yeah. Well, this is getting juicy. We're going to get more into it when we get back after this short break. More with It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
Follow the story. Follow the conversation. Follow the leader. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
You've seen the Total Gym on TV for years. Total Gym is the all-in-one fitness solution designed to help you reach your fitness goals quickly. Top celebrities like Chuck Norris and Christie Brinkley rely on the Total Gym to keep in shape. And now you can try the Total Gym 30 days risk-free for just $49.95. With the Total Gym, you can work out all major muscle groups, even cardio exercises with one machine, all in the comfort of your own home. And when you're done, you can fold the Total Gym up and slide it under your bed. Now you can get in the best shape of your life, like Chuck Norris and Christie Brinkley have with the Total Gym. Call now for your 30-day risk-free trial offer. Call now for free shipping.
800-544-5528. 800-544-5528. 800-544-5528. 800-544-5528.
Back to programming in a minute, but first, listen to this. Seems the New York Mint is releasing to the public classic U.S. gold coins. There's a number you can call for free historical information and a free DVD. But first, it says that during the Great Depression, people were clamoring for gold coins because no one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. The government finally took them out of circulation, and a government meltdown was ordered. That's why most of us have never even seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a stash was discovered in Europe, gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-922-5949. Wouldn't that be amazing to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-922-5949. 1-800-922-5949.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-2573. That's 1-800-644-2573.
I can tell you why selling your car to CarMax is the smart choice in only 30 seconds. CarMax will appraise your car for free. We'll make you an offer in writing, and that offer is good for 7 days. You're free to sell your car to us or think it over or even compare it to other offers people make on your car. And whenever you're ready to sell your car to us, just bring it in and we'll buy it on the spot. In fact, we'll buy your car even if you don't buy one of ours. It's the easiest way to sell your car. So bring your car to CarMax today for a free appraisal Because the smart choice is CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Rapid Transmissions is a proud sponsor of the Warrior Foundation. Take your vehicle to a company that gives back to our military heroes. Rapid repairs transmissions in a world where other automotive companies are trying to sell you a new one. Right now through the end of this month, Rapid is offering a complete transmission service for only $89.95 on most vehicles. And they'll give you 10% off your required repair if they find you need more than just a service. Call 800-562-7675 or rapidtransmissions.com.
When choosing a treatment for cancer, experience counts. As the nation's first proton treatment center, Loma Linda University Medical Center pioneered the use of proton radiation for the treatment of prostate, lung, and brain cancers. We treat more patients than any other center of its kind in the world. To learn more and receive your free informational DVD, visit protons.com or call 1-800-PROTONS. Loma Linda University Medical Center. Many strengths, one mission.
Roger Hedgecock.
Follow me every afternoon, 3 to 6 on 760 KFMB.
A little food for thought. I'm 760's Rick Williams, and here are the stories we're following. Well, despite rising food prices, local restaurant owners say that business should be good in 2012. UT San Diego says that a National Restaurant Association estimate shows sales across the U.S. they're expected to rise about 3.5% over the last year. To close a projected budget gap of $124 million, the superintendent of the San Diego School District is now recommending laying off over 1,100 employees and increasing class sizes. San Diego State says it has raised over $300 million since they began their campaign for SDSU in 2007. Their goal is $500 million. Let an Allstate agent make your life easier by bundling your policies. They'll help do the switching and paperwork for you. Find an Allstate agent near you at allstate.com. KFMB weather currently is partly cloudy and 62 in San Diego. And in sports, the New York Giants have defeated the New England Patriots 21-17, and they won Super Bowl 46. Remember, for more San Diego news, follow the leader, 760KFMB.com.
The New York Giants have earned their fourth Super Bowl title, beating the New England Patriots tonight. Tom Brady tried to throw a Hail Mary pass with just seconds on the clock.
Incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
The final call on Sports Radio 66 WFAN, New York over New England, 21-17. Grim news out of Washington State. Two young boys are dead after their father set off an explosion in their home. Josh Powell, the husband of missing Utah mother Susan Powell, was also killed in what authorities in Graham, Washington are calling a murder-suicide. President Obama says Iran is feeling the pinch from sanctions, but that he would not take options off the table in making sure Tehran does not build a nuclear weapon. The counting continues in Nevada, where Mitt Romney won yesterday's caucuses. Officials are trying to figure out whether Newt Gingrich or Ron Paul won second place. At last check, Gingrich was leading the vote count. Rick Santorum vows to stay in the race after coming in last. I'm Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
Follow Mark Levin tomorrow night, 6 to 9.
The only force for liberty in this country is us.
We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
All right, we are back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with not one but two fantastic CPAs to go over Mitt Romney's tax returns. We're back now with Richard Muzio and Jonathan Allen. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. So we want to thank our major sponsor, which would be UBS, and Mr. Michael Quaranta with the La Jolla office of UBS. And Joe, you and I had lunch with Michael and a couple of other folks from UBS.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Last week. It was fun up at the 34th floor.
University
Symphony
Club.
Towers University Club.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of fun. But we really want to thank UBS for being our major sponsor.
They brought Mr. Tony Roth out from New York, right? He was a
pretty we'll have him on the show. He's their lead portfolio analyst, and he has quite the resume, but we don't want to spoil the fun.
Right.
Because he's been on Bloomberg quite a bit, too. Very interesting.
Well-credentialed.
Well-credentialed and very well-spoken about what's going on in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to Mitt Romney's income tax return. Mitt, of course, won the Nevada caucus. So congratulations, Mitt. I don't think there's any doubt about that one. I don't want to say that there's anything wrong with Mitt Romney's tax return, but there may be some things wrong with the tax code. For example, the tax code is 72,536 pages. That's a lot of pages.
You know, when I first started school, there was one book of actual code and two books of regs. And now there's, what, two books of code and three books of regs?
That's correct. That's correct.
Books, code, and three
books of regs. So things have basically doubled.
It's amazing.
And Jonathan's young. It's not like she's been around doing this for 70 years.
Exactly.
So how many total pages again?
72,000.
72,000.
536.
Of just IRS code.
That's correct. And forget about the states. That's just federal. 72,536.
And the regs, that includes the regs, or is more that's on regs are on top of that?
That's the code and the regs.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the law.
Mm-hmm. 72,000.
And then if you add all the cases on top of that.
So if you have insomnia, folks, Google that.
Google that. So let me just make a couple of points about Mitt Romney's tax return. Again, this thing was 203 pages, and here's why the U.S. tax code is too complex. And actually, I'm a CPA. Jonathan's a CPA, too. We make a lot of money helping people sort through this mess. But even I will admit that even though I get paid money to do this, the tax code is too complex. For example, on page 48 of Mitt Romney's tax return, there's an extremely complex calculation that determined that he should add an extra $14 to his taxable income. And then on page 69...
Red flag audit that.
Yeah,
guy.
On page 69, here we go. On page 69, he reported a $2 taxable dividend payment. $2, that was probably an account he closed out, but when they closed it out, there was a dividend coming in the next day. And so that started to earn dividends. So $2, you don't want to miss $2 on when you have $21 million of income. You might get audited.
No, you might. And then again, you sort of question how much it probably took him to have this tax return prepared in order to record that.
Yeah, we noticed on Schedule A, PricewaterhouseCoopers did this tax return, their office in Boston. And I guess it's better that they're known for doing that than for being MF Global's auditor. Oh, sorry, cheap shot. But there was no tax prep fees shown on Schedule A, so we have no idea what he paid for this work. It's probably buried somewhere on Schedule E, is my guess, with all of his partnerships and LLCs.
I would guess the same. Because I look for it, too. I didn't find it.
But Mitt, if you're listening, if you're still in Las Vegas, sometimes we carry all the way over there. I will do your tax return this year for 70% of what PricewaterhouseCoopers charged last year. Hmm. Okay? 30% discount.
Excellent.
And here we go. In terms of complexity, on page 77, Mitt got a $1 tax credit. Good thing we didn't omit those pages. So, yeah, the tax code is too complex when somebody with $21 million of income is calculating a $2 dividend amount or a $1 tax credit.
Did he check off the $3 for the that goes to the presidential election?
You know, I didn't even look. Is that still on there?
I'm just curious. But anyway.
So my point is that, yeah, maybe 72,536 pages is a little bit too much. I think President Obama in the State of His Union address said that he really only wants there to be two tax deductions. I think he said, was it education and real estate taxes?
Real estate taxes?
Or was it mortgage interest?
Probably mortgage interest.
It was one of the two. So it wasn't very much. We talk about tax rates going up. If you watched or listened to President Obama's State of the Union address, he basically pitted the 2% against the 98%, the 2% being people who earn $250,000 or more. I don't know that tax rates are going up so much, but I think the Obama administration really wants to limit income tax deductions, particularly for the very wealthy. For example, on Mitt Romney's income tax return, 2010, he took about $3 million of charitable contributions. And then on his 2011 draft return, which has already been put out by his CPA, he will be claiming about $4 million of charitable contributions. Now, I think, for example, if the charitable contributions deduction gets limited or the home mortgage deduction gets limited, and I think certainly if capital gains rates go up or qualified dividends rates go up, I certainly believe that investor behavior is going to change.
It would have to.
Yeah, just because the risk associated with going out and making money.
I don't think you could go back and limit the mortgage interest deduction and presume that you're going to have any recovery in the housing industry.
It couldn't happen, could
There's
it?
There's no way.
There's no way. I agree. Or limiting the real estate tax deduction.
Absolutely.
Although here in California, most people who deduct real estate taxes don't really get to deduct them because of that fun thing called the alternative minimum tax.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one thing that they need to get rid of, too.
That's one thing that needs to be fixed. Mitt Romney, by the way, did pay over $200,000 in 2010 of alternative minimum tax. Certain of his tax deductions got added back because they're considered preferential. He pays a lot of state income taxes, primarily to his home state of Massachusetts.
And maybe he should move to Nevada.
He should move to Nevada. But he also pays a lot of real estate taxes, which get added back. I know out here in California, a lot of middle-income taxpayers, because we pay a lot of income taxes to California. It's the price we pay for our sunshine. And we have very high real estate taxes. A lot of middle-income taxpayers pay alternative minimum tax because of the add-back of real estate taxes and California income taxes, which is really, really unfair, in my opinion. because I don't think the alternative minimum tax was ever designed for people making $150,000 to $200,000 a year.
Well, no, it was never structured that way under the 86 Tax Act. And what ended up happening was it's now hitting the middle income taxpayers that were never designed to be hit to begin with.
Right, and that's because we have rather flat tax rates. We have a 15%, a 25%, and a 35%, and alternative minimum tax gets applied at 28%, and then the taxpayer just pays whatever the higher result is. You tax the income one way, regular tax the income the other way, alternative minimum, add a few deductions back for alternative minimum, and apply basically a flat tax rate of 28%. So it wasn't surprising to me that Mitt Romney was an alternative minimum tax. Not surprising at all.
No, but if you're ever having difficulty sleeping, you ought to try going through the instructions for the Altman work papers.
Yeah, IRS audit agents don't even understand it.
No.
Most CPAs don't understand it. I'm not sure that I understand it because I don't think it's understandable. It's that complex.
Well, that's part of the tax code, and that's part of the problems with the tax code is that it's not clear, it's not concise. There's just too much wiggle room.
Yeah.
There is. So here's the other interesting thing that's been in the press a lot, though, about Mitt Romney's tax return, and that's all of the foreign source income that he has, all of the offshore accounts. Now, I happen to think that he probably did most of his offshore accounts for asset protection reasons as opposed to, I mean, he's certainly not avoiding any U.S. income tax because he has to report all of the income. But I notice Mitt tends to deflect any comment about that to saying that, well, I've got a blind trust and my trustee. I love his trustee's name, by the way. His trustee's name is Bradford Malt. I mean, there is a name. To be a trustee, I don't know if people know this, but you have to have more syllables in your first name than you do your last name. And so, for example, if you were named like Richie Cunningham, you couldn't be a trustee because it doesn't sound official enough. But Bradford Malt is a great trustee name. And so Mitt tends to deflect any comment about his investing activities to, well, my trustee, Bradford Malt, of my blind trust, and his wife, Ann Romney, also has a blind trust.
Yeah, those are the two elements coming through on a lot of the gains and the dividends that were coming through the blind trust. But the question that I have is, okay, so he's got foreign income coming in from the Cayman Islands and from Switzerland, a couple of Swiss bank accounts. I guess my question is, why is he using countries that are essentially tax havens as opposed to something else?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question, and if you look at Mitt's history of making money with Bain Capital, he was, well, somebody who was sort of over on the venture capital side or even the vulture fund side. And so I would assume that there is some asset protection as the motivation behind a lot of the planning that he's done by putting assets offshore or in blind trust with trustees and offshore. It makes it more difficult for creditors to come after you. That's not to say that a lot of creditors even have bona fide claims if they try, but a lot of wealthy taxpayers put assets offshore strictly for asset protection. You'll notice that Mitt Romney's paying income taxes on all of this foreign income, although he does pay foreign tax. Over the last 10 years, he has paid over $1.2 million of taxes to foreign countries that are taxable. He then gets a credit against his U.S. tax so that that's not doubly taxed.
Well, we're not making a moral judgment here. I mean, look, any of us who are in the same position would probably do the same thing, except if you're running for public office and you're trying to represent 300 plus million people, it's hard to win over somebody who's making, you know, 20,000 or 20, correct?
I mean, precisely.
Yeah, and I think he makes more per day than...
He makes more per day than the average American does in an entire year.
Right, and I think 48% of adult Americans now do not pay any income tax whatsoever. That's not because they have great accountants and huge tax shelters. It's because they don't make any money.
Precisely.
And that's sort of scary when you realize that only 52% of Americans are paying the freight. That doesn't say much for what the minimum wage does for this economy. I know a lot of the jobs numbers, a lot of those new jobs that were added were at very low hourly rates. And I think it's really unfortunate if somebody is working and poor, but those people don't pay any income tax. And so obviously Mitt Romney's income tax return is a very abstract thing for them to consider or view.
And I think if a Bill Gates or Warren Buffett was running, you know, they'd probably come under the same kind of scrutiny. And so I don't know. That's a challenge for him that he's going to have to sell the voters on, you know, to overlook his wealth and convince people that he's, you know, in there fighting for most of us.
Well, I suspect he might be doing less offshore investing than he was.
That would probably be a really good smart first
I think
move.
He did close some Swiss bank accounts, correct?
They did.
Yeah, the Swiss bank accounts. But, I mean, if you look at his tax return, there are so many different countries where there are accounts. I mean, it's page after page. I think it's a form 8836.
What are some of those countries?
Cayman Islands is in there. Mm-hmm. I think I saw Cook Islands, obviously Switzerland. I forget. There's so many. I mean, I could dig through this thing, but, I mean, it's just because, see, you have to do all these extra disclosures when you have offshore accounts.
So you think he does have a passport, huh?
Well, look.
Probably a well-traveled one, yeah.
I'm sure he does. But, you know, this is serious business. There's a lot of taxpayers out of there who are not complying with the foreign reporting requirements.
And well, a lot of them don't even know that there are foreign reporting requirements.
But here's the problem. There's criminal sanctions that go along with not reporting properly.
Precisely. But I don't know about you.
You mean
but
not reporting foreign income?
Exactly. Here's a typical situation. Somebody moves here from Canada or from Mexico or from Italy or Greece, and they keep money back home. And they don't really know that they're supposed to report their foreign accounts in the U.S.
They have to become a U.S. citizen, though, don't they?
No. It's a U.S. citizen or resident.
Or a resident.
U.S. citizen or resident. Oh. Or if you have U.S. source income, that would be income from a U.S. business or income from U.S. real estate.
It's a huge problem.
It's a huge problem.
All right. Well, we're going to ride on the range when we get back, but I've got to take a little break, and we'll be back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs after this short announcement.
Follow Mark Levin in 2012.
Let me tell you something. Should Obama not be reelected president, I predict something of an economic boom, regardless of who the Republican is. Because people right now are holding on to their money to the extent they have any, because they are praying Obama's gone after the next election so that they're not attacked and punished and penalized. So you ought to look at it that way, too. A loss for Obama is a gain for the rest of us.
Mark Levin, tomorrow night, 6 to 9, Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost $250,000 that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy, it works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-900-3142. For your free CD, call 1-800-900-3142. That's 1-800-900-3142.
Hi, I'm attorney Stephen Brummer of the Brummer Law Firm in San Diego with a message for the men listening. Okay, ladies, you can listen too. But guys, I know it's not easy to talk about subjects like bankruptcy, and sometimes it's hard to admit when we need help. I understand the pressure you're facing. Financial problems can happen to anyone, especially in today's economy. But debt doesn't have to ruin your life. Let me help you become debt-free and enjoy a healthy financial future. My firm is a debt relief agency and helps people like you to file for debt relief under the bankruptcy code every day. Now take that important first step and call me today for a free consultation at 619-568-3139. That's 619-568-3139. Or find me at 619debthelp.com. That's 619debthelp.com. Help with your debt is just a call or click away.
High school seniors, the deadline to apply for a Salute to Education scholarship for college or vocational school is February 17th. Seniors attending San Diego County High Schools are eligible to apply. Each scholarship is $1,000, and one lucky scholarship recipient will win a new Ford vehicle. Applications are available from all San Diego County Ford dealers and on the web at salutetoeducation.com. For more information, call 619-521-2404.
Now in its third year, the Union Tribune's popular Successful Aging Expo is Saturday and Sunday, February 11th and 12th at the Town and Country. Enjoy free admission, free seminars, and more than 90 exhibitors with expert tips on health, fitness, travel, financial services, home and garden ideas, and more. Plus, win prizes and enjoy free food samples. See you at the UT Successful Aging Expo, February 11th and 12th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Town and Country in Mission Valley. Get all the details at agingexpo.utsandiego.com.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Follow Mike Slater tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
New York. New
Well, that is for the New York Giants winning Super Bowl 46 tonight. And I went back and checked. The last Super Bowl they won was 17-14. So they won by three then, by four today. And congrats to them. And thanks to Bill and Michelle for hosting the great party. And it was great watching it with Dan Audick, who won a ring with in Super Bowl 16. He was Joe Montana's left tackle, and he was at our party today. So congrats to the Giants, and thanks to Bill and Michelle for a great time. Back to Richard.
So again, thank you to our major sponsor, UBS, and in particular, Mr. Michael Coronta of the La Jolla office of UBS. Also, a couple of our other sponsors, Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited, as well as the attorney, Rich Gaines. Great name for an attorney, Rich Gaines. and Family Legacy Legal. In fact, I think Rich is...
he made that up.
No, his name is Rich Gaines. And here's the other thing. He's got twins who were born on April 15th.
Oh, and God.
I think Rich is going to be a guest on, I think it's March 4th, because he's got a big event coming up on March 15th that we'll tell everybody
double
about.
Double deduction there.
Yeah, double deduction. I know.
A twofer.
Two for the price of one. All right, so let's talk... Jonathan, let's talk about FBAR. I'm going to recite some countries that Mitt Romney has investments in. I don't know where AS is. Is that South Africa? But GM is Germany.
I hope we're not missing any letters.
I know. Anyway. So we've got Germany. We've got Luxembourg. We've got the Cayman Islands. We've got Switzerland. We have Ireland. How come everybody's always after me Lucky Charms? That's the joke there. There's Luxembourg again.
Lots of investment in Ireland.
Lots of investment in Ireland. There's Luxembourg again.
Yeah, FBAR came into existence about 2003, and that's really when the regs became fairly rigid in terms of the requirement to go back in and report the income from foreign income sources. I think a lot of American taxpayers, whether you're from this country or you've emigrated or you've become a citizen, don't understand the fact that whether or not you're earning income in that country, if you're even a beneficiary of a foreign trust, you are required to go back and report that. The difficulty is it's not that you're going to be taxed on the income from those countries necessarily, but if you fail to report it, there are criminal sanctions that the IRS can go back and utilize against you simply for failure to report this foreign income. And we're seeing a huge problem in our office with people just not understanding the rules, having tax preparers that didn't understand the rules. And as a result, what ends up happening is now we're doing a lot of FBAR voluntary proposals in order to be able to get these people out of some of the problems and some of the penalties, the horrific penalties that the IRS goes back and utilizes against people who fail to report foreign income.
Right. They don't just simply tax the income. They can assess penalties against the value of the account.
Precisely. Mm-hmm.
And so you can lose, well, you can have an assessment that's more than the assets.
Yeah.
Well, just by the way, I think AS might be American Samoa. I just did a little.
Oh, American Samoa. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
American Samoa. Computers.
Yeah, I've got a little computer.
I guess. I just thought maybe it was Africa South instead of South Africa.
It just didn't sound right.
Who knows? There's so many countries.
Yeah, so little time.
But FBAR's, yeah, we're joking about it, but FBAR's very serious business because if anybody from that particular division comes to visit you at your office or your home, they're actually carrying a badge and a gun from the IRS.
Precisely.
It's the Criminal Investigation Division.
And there's jail time that they can go back and utilize as sanctions as well.
So, Jonathan, we're almost out of time. Can people get a hold of you? And if so, how?
Absolutely. Probably the easiest way to get a hold of us is to go check our website. And the website is www.allenbarron, and that's allenbarron.com. Or alternatively, you can call our office. The telephone number is area code 760-741-1501.
You're out in Escondido, right? Because you have allergy problems and you like the dry weather?
Precisely. I've got an auxiliary office downtown, too, in Symphony Towers. So when you were talking earlier today about, or earlier tonight about having lunch up in the towers, it's a great place to eat.
I've got an auxiliary office at the University Club as well. It's at the bar.
Precisely.
Hey, those allergies, green tea. That's all I'm going to say. Five cups of green tea, you'll do a lot better with them because it helps. But anyway.
So in our last couple of minutes, let's talk about income taxes. So we have an election that's going to be going on soon. And depending on what you read, people say either Obama's going to get reelected or he's not. That's sort of a stupid statement. It is going to be one or the other. But here's the interesting thing. We have a lot of income tax provisions that at the end of 2010 were extended for only 2 years, which means they are set to expire at December 31st, 2012. Included among those are two of the things we've talked about tonight, the 15% maximum tax rate on long-term capital gains. That was the main reason that Mitt Romney did not pay that much income tax as a function of his total income. And secondly, the 15% qualified dividends rate, which was the second biggest reason why Mitt Romney did not pay that much income tax as a function of his total income. The other thing that may get changed dramatically is the estate and gift tax exemption, which has grown to $5 million. So this year in 2012, you could either give away or die with $5 million and pay no estate tax or gift tax. However, if that provision is allowed to sunset, that exemption amount will only be $1 million, and further, the gift tax and estate tax rate will go from 35% to 55%. So there is huge uncertainty in the income tax as well as the estate and gift tax code right now.
And all these potential expirations will affect what percentage of Americans, would you say?
Well, the income tax provisions will affect anybody with long-term capital gains and qualified dividends. Many smaller income earners have those things, even though they're in much smaller amounts than you'll see on Mitt Romney's income tax return. Certainly, the estate and gift tax exemption only applies to very wealthy people. However, bear in mind that if that gets reduced to $1 million for husband and wife, that's only $2 million of assets. Mm-hmm. Back in the late 1990s, when we had a $1 million exemption for spouse, there were about 110,000 estate tax returns filed every year where there was estate tax paid. Under the $5 million exemption amount, there's only going to be about 3,500 estate tax returns filed for 2011 where estate tax will be paid, so that presumably will 30-fold increase the amount of people subject to the estate tax, which is really scary because I don't think anybody worth $2.5 or $3 million should pay estate tax. That estate is not big enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the difficulty is that dead people don't vote. So I think if you're going to go back and take a look at some of the tax law changes, I do think that that's going to be one of the reductions that probably won't go through. Don't know about the long-term capital gains and, of course, the payroll tax deductions and the unemployment insurance is a whole other bailiwick as well.
Well, yeah, there was at least a two-month extension. Yeah. We'll see what happens with that. Are we out of time already?
We are, Richard. But anyway, thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Richard. And congrats to the New York Giants. Thanks to Scott Love, our technical director, and to Craig Blanke, and our account executive, and also Dave Sniff, our program genius. We'll see you next week on more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. Good night now.
It's John from MojoPages.com. A lot of my friends have told me they've heard our commercials on 760 KFMB about how we make it fast, easy, and reliable for you to find the best local businesses. But they're still a little confused about what a business's mojo is. Mojo can mean a lot of different things, like Austin Powers used it to attract the opposite sex. It also describes a magical charm in African folklore. But for us, mojo is a score that we give to every business that ranks them from best to worst. So we can use this score to tell you who the number one dentist is in San Diego, the number one restaurant, the number one plumber, etc. We get the Mojo score by analyzing over 3 million customer reviews, and that's more than just about any other review site. We take all these reviews, we put them through a crazy mathematical algorithm, and it spits out the Mojo score for each business. Go ahead and try it for yourself at mojopages.com. Hey, it's totally free, it's easy to use, and it'll help you find a great business. Go to mojopages.com. Check Mojo, then go.
This is an election not only to replace the president.
Follow the conversation.
It's an election to save the soul of America.
760. Follow the leader. KFMB.